Good morning and welcome to Bookland. It's very nice to have you with us. It is our time of the week where we sit down and say, hey, what are some really good books that we can read? Well, we go to our independent booksellers who are throughout our regions, and they come in and they present a fine list of books that will hopefully have you interested in reading and finding out what's happening in our world. Matt Tannenbaum joins us this morning. He is from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts, currently celebrating its
40th
anniversary, which is very, very exciting. And it
we
is
started
always...
on April Fool's Day. Sorry.
I bet you did. Well, it's always great to have you here. Thank you very much.
Nice to be here, Joe. Today's Flag Day.
It is Flag Day. I forgot that. It's Flag Day. June 14th, it's Flag Day.
I know it's Flag Day because it's the birthday of one of my favorite fictional characters, Paul Christopher, from the Charles McCary's novels.
Oh, there you go.
And today is Paul Christopher's, I forget how old he is today.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
well, happy Flag Day.
Happy birthday.
As you...
And Thursday, you know what Thursday is?
What's Thursday?
Bloomsday.
Bloomsday.
Bloomsday. You've got to get your Irish out and start reading some Ulysses.
Okay.
You don't have to read the whole thing. Just the last 40 pages.
Just a little bit. All right. I got you. Now, where would you like to start this morning as we go through the...
Let's start in the Adirondacks.
The Matt Tannenbaum Hit Parade. Yes.
These are books. You know, Joe, I like to find books and bring you books that you don't know
little
about.
Way
off or a little off. This is a
meaning the radar, not
yeah.
not off.
Just, no, just, not just, at all, not at
just,
all.
Just you know, they're not things that you're going to find in every bookstore, and certainly in reviewed in your local paper. Okay,
A Not Too Greatly Changed Eden, by James Schlett, a journalist, local journalist, or he was a journalist in I think Schenectady, a couple of years ago, when he found out about this philosopher's camp.
Yes.
You know about this?
Yes.
Emerson and Lowell and a painter named Stillman brought all these philosophers out to the Adirondacks. And what I thought was terrific, the newspapers picked up the story. A bunch of philosophers and poets and thinkers go camping for 2 weeks in the Adirondacks, and it's news.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
And this book tells the story of what happens there and what happened there and how these minds came together.
And why these people, you know, it was like let's get out into the country and get away from the pressures of city life, of urban life, and commune with nature. And then you had Louis Agassiz, the biologist from the was he British? And he taught at Harvard. He was the guy, he was the anti-Darwinist. Darwin sent him a copy of Origin of Species, and he marked it up. He said, "This is terrible. This is wrong, wrong, wrong." So you have Agassiz dissecting fish during the camping trip, and Emerson. Did Emerson shoot? I think Emerson took rifle practice in the camp, and you have these future attorney general, the poet James Russell Lowell, and communing with nature. It was terrific. And they wanted to establish a permanent philosopher's camp, but the Civil War intervened. And then years later, Stillman, who organized the trip, who was a painter and the founder of a magazine called The Crayon, which was like an arts journal back in the 1850s, came back and saw that it was devastated by tourism.
Wow.
So, but then last year when the book came out, when this book first came out in hardcover, it's out and available in hardcover and paperback, Bill McKibben went on a trip with an NPR reporter, Brian Mann.
Yes.
And they took a canoe trip down to Follansbee Pond to recreate the trip. Emerson wrote the great poem, the two lines in the poem that I have here were, "The holidays were fruitful but must end. One August evening had a cooler breath." And you know that, you know, in August, it's far away from us now, but that one cool evening in August is going to come at the end of the summer. And it was a lovely book. I really enjoyed it. And he, James, was at the bookstore last week And so we have signed copies of the book, and it was lovely.
James Shalette is the author. The name of the book is A Not Too Greatly Changed Eden, and it is published by Cornell University Press. Next.
The Complete Review Guide to Contemporary World Fiction by M.A. Orthoffer, published by Columbia University Press.
Yes, sir.
Michael Orthoffer runs an online review called The Complete Review, in which he gathers reviews from all over the world of books that would receive little or no attention, and he puts them all together. His website says the definition is a selectively comprehensive, objectively opinionated survey of books old and new, trying to meet all your book review, preview, and information needs. And Michael was at the store last night to talk about this new book, where he goes all around the world and finds books that are published in translation in English that are not picked up by the major houses, and it's not your Garcia Marquez, it's your sub-Saharan writers, it's your writers from all over the world. And he also has a chapter on North American writers, and you can kind of see what he's talking about with these kinds of writers. These are the important writers, and you get a sense of, because you know these guys,
yeah,
these men and women, and so you have a sense of what he's talking about with the other writers who you might not have heard about. We carry a bunch of these books, it turns out, because we've always championed the small presses and those out-of-the-way presses,
yes,
like Deep Vellum, or 3rd%, something like that. I don't know that publisher. He mentioned it last night. So that's the second book I have for you, The Complete Review Guide to Contemporary World Fiction.
That's great, by M.A. Orthoffer. Excellent. All right, next.
Next. We had a busy week this last week. Claudia Gold was in on Sunday.
Oh, she was on our show recently.
I think she was, right.
She was promoting your event.
Oh, and now I'm promoting her. So it's terrific. Claudia, I've known for a long time. She's a great Barrington woman, a doctor, pediatrician, and she's writing here about how we silence our children with drugs instead of listening to them, and that we take a look at a behavior and we say that's bad behavior. Let's fix it instead of what's the story behind the behavior.
Right.
And it seems pretty obvious that there's a problem in medication and in the quick fix and in the 15-minute you get to see your psychiatrist for 15 minutes every couple of months just to check on how the meds are doing, and that's it. There's no conversation. There's no story about, you know,
where is it going further?
Yeah. So she, at one point, she says she got a very pretty laminated poster from a pharmaceutical company because she had filled out a survey, and they're bragging about there are 22 new drugs to fix ADHD.
Yes.
And you know what are they missing here? So The Silenced Child, published by DeCapo Press, who also published her first book, which was called, I had it in my mind a minute ago. It was called Keeping Your Child in Mind.
Yes.
Also at DeCapo Press. So those three, and then we have I think four more events coming up at the end of June, including, well, we'll talk about Photomat later.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. But let's go. We promise.
Yes.
The next one I have is, oh, you know who I have next? Patrick Modiano.
Oh, when
have I ever not had Patrick Modiano?
It's for over 40 years he's been championing Patrick Modiano.
If I had known Patrick Modiano for the last 40 years, I would have been championing.
Now, see, that's funny because you brought in a book. I got a Patrick Modiano book in the mail the other day, and I thought that was the one you were bringing in.
Oh, which one did you get?
I don't remember, and I'll find out. But you brought in a different one.
Well, because he's being translated like a mile a minute now. Yale University Press is bringing him out. The last couple I've been reading were published by New York Review. Godin, of course, had the original two books long before he won the prize. That was Missing Person and Honeymoon. And he's a guy who, so Young Ones is the one I want to talk about just for a minute today, is a different book than his others because it was written in the third person. All his others are first person, completely. He himself, Modiano, steps out of his way. It's a narrator. It's somebody, you know it's him, but he's telling the story. This is what happened to me, and it's somebody else. This book, Young Ones, is about his parents.
Mm.
And as readers of his other books will know, he had a very troubled relationship with his parents. And I'm not going to go into that, but it was the morally ambiguous father and the mostly absent mother. And here he treats them, he imagines what their lives were like when they first met. Maybe he heard stories, but I think it's mostly fiction. It's who these people were who became his parents.
And it is the name of the book.
Young Ones.
Now the one I got was Villa Triste.
Villa Triste, I think.
Via Treats.
Yes. I haven't read that yet.
Okay.
I was gonna talk about it, but
you can bring it. That'll be your next month's selection.
But I sold out of the five copies that I had.
Because you're
like
a Modiano pusher, sure.
So, but I'll tell you one story about Modiano is that. So this is about his parents, but you can tell that some of these experiences are maybe his own. What it's like when he was young, when he meets somebody. And I remember years ago trying to write a double diary of my life at the time. I think I was a young married, and what my father's diary might have been. So I can appreciate what Modiano is doing here. I didn't get very far in my project. I became a bookseller. I left for 40 years. So that's Modiano and Young Ones, published by New York Review of Books. The last book I have is Jewish Noir, by an anthology of short stories by Kenneth Wishnia, published by PM Press. Didn't know anything about it. This guy came up to us at the Booksellers Convention in Chicago last month. He hands a copy to Colin Harrington. Colin is the events guy. He's wearing a big badge that says Events Manager. So all the people who want to have events come up to him,
sure.
And they hand him this book, and it's a great book. I read the editor's introduction the other night, and I read one of the stories about a woman who goes back to Russia to find the treasure that her grandfather left behind when the Bolsheviks murdered the Tsar.
No.
And he threw something in a well. And they always thought, you know, they came to America and they said, oh, yeah, that story, the great riches. Well, is it true? Is it not true? You got to read the book to find out. And he'll be at the store in August sometime. I'm not sure which date. Kenneth Wishnia,
Jewish Noir. We have about a minute. So what kind of events would you like to talk about? One is very special.
One is special.
I mean, they're all special, but this one's
special. It's hard to say, for me to say that this is special, but
Photomat. It's Photomat, photo, M-A-T-T, and it's photographs of you, Matthew Tannenbaum, from 1972 to present by these two guys who won't stop photographing you.
They won't stop photographing me. These are the guys who invited me to the Berkshires in the first place. They're responsible. Blame them.
Yeah.
Jim Youngerman, Mike Ansell. And they've been taking pictures for 40 years, and we thought we'd put together a show in the gallery this summer.
So
opens Friday night.
The opening reception is June 17th, 5 to 7, and then we'll be on display through September 30th. And
they'll be in the other room. I won't be able to see them from my desk all day long.
You can look in a mirror. You can see yourself. Bookstore in Lenox to find out what's going on. Bookstoreinlenox.com. Better yet, visit them. 11 Housatonic Street in Lenox, Massachusetts. Matt Tannenbaum, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.